3, 2, 1. Hey, Buzzheads. Welcome to
Buzzhead Radio.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Curtis. What's going on? Sitting here with Tammy Wilson.
Yeah.
Chuck Lips is on the line.
We've got all kinds of people in the studio this week. Last week, we were trying to decide what to talk about, and this very super smart physicist over there in some other country decided that the Hadron Collider disproves that ghosts exist. So we thought we'd get a couple of guests on that beg to differ that guy's opinion, and I'm not even sure what the heck he's talking about. So, Tammy?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking about either.
You don't?
No.
Well, Tammy Wilson here. The reason that we have Tammy on is Tammy is not only a ghost hunter, but she is an author that has written a book called Ghostlahoma, over 100 years of Oklahoma's haunted history. So tell us real quick why you wrote the book and a little bit about the book.
Well, it was kind of one of those things that was on my bucket list. Everybody has a ghost story, really. Even people that say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. And then they always go, well, but there was that one time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody has some kind of a story. So my friend Tanya Hacker and I, we just started gathering people's stories. And so this is a compilation of people's personal experiences and then included with some of the investigations that we went on and included our stories in there too. And it was just something I always wanted to do. I think it's interesting. I think the history behind a lot of them is interesting. And I love history. So, and we like obviously to write, so we put them together into a book about Oklahoma ghost stories.
Yeah, it should be an easy read because they're not like really long.
No, they're not. They're pretty short, most of them. But there's about 50 stories in there, and like I said, they're all told from the person who experienced it's point of view.
Very cool.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting. And then we would like to do a second one eventually and do it more public places that people can go visit.
Great. Now, if somebody would want to pick up one of these books, where can they get the books at?
They are available through Whitechapel Press, which I think you can probably just find online, or you can contact me and I could get you one.
Okay.
I have a few on hand, but they can also be, and I think you can even get them on, I think you can get them on Amazon.
Cool.
So. Chuck, are you still there?
Yes.
Hey,
wait,
Chuck.
Wake up, Chuck.
I'm just listening.
We also have Chuck from another town phoning in today. So this is not only an episode about ghosts, but it's a test episode to see if we can do a live guest and a telephone guest all at the same time.
And we're hanging on by a thread.
We are. So
the technology exists.
Barely.
Yeah. So basically what we just wanted to do was we don't quite understand why the physicist says that because of the Hadron Collider, ghosts do not exist. Because I think when you think of ghosts, you think of something on like a different plane. I mean, it's not – I don't see how you can compare kind of the earthly energy with what maybe a ghost energy would be. But Chuck, you've told me a couple of tales about some weird things that have happened to you. Now, you haven't seen a ghost, but tell us about the Velcro situation that happened to you recently.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I've had several things. And to address the Hadron Super Collider, I'm not as smart as that guy, but it's easy to prove something does exist. How do you prove something doesn't?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That's the common sense approach. All of my stories involve my father, who passed away. Everybody probably knew Papa Torrey. He passed away on Halloween in 2009.
I didn't know that.
I didn't.
Yeah.
It was on Halloween Day, yep. And you can't write that stuff. But after he died, there's odd things happened at the shop. Probably the first one was, and I didn't witness this, but the lady told me about it. She was sitting in the shop a couple days after, and everything flew off one of the shelves, 3 feet from her. And she said there was nobody but her in the room, and it was like an invisible arm had swept the entire counter underneath the glass counter, just swept it clean onto the floor and broke a bunch of stuff.
Wow. Now, had your dad ever mentioned anything about the building being haunted when he lived there?
No. He bought the building in 1959. He was in it for 50 years.
Wow.
And he lived in an apartment in the back of the building that I built for him 18 or 20 years.
Now, what some people may not know is why we mentioned that he had died on Halloween. What makes that really ironic is that he sold Halloween costumes, had a whole room full of Halloween costumes, and he was the go-to place in our hometown where people would go get Halloween stuff. So it's just really ironic that that would be the time that he died. So what other things happened over there?
Well, one, the light on the back of the shop outdoors, the overhead light, it hadn't worked for years. Well, I go down there one night, probably a couple weeks after he'd passed away, and I drive around the back of the building to go in, and the light's on. You know, that's sort of anecdotal, but I had put new bulbs in it. I even put a new, and no one had touched anything. It's not like someone had fiddled with the switch. But the light worked all of a sudden. There was an air compressor in there. I was doing some work, and I had a portable air compressor, and I came in, and it had been moved and knocked over. There was a sunglasses rack in the front of the shop, one of those little rotating carousel glass racks that had been thrown across the floor one day when I went in, when, you know, it had been closed for a while.
So now, Tammy, what do you call all that stuff where stuff moves?
Well, I mean, I think there's different. It just kind of depends on the circumstances. I mean, some people would call it a poltergeist, but I think that depends on what the circumstances surrounding it are. A lot of times they equate that with, you know, teenage angst stuff kind of going on. And then sometimes it just could be, I mean, whatever, whoever it is that's there trying to get your attention for one reason or another. It's hard to say. I mean, you can't really pin it down.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, and obviously I don't have any proof of anything. It's just there's no other explanation.
Well, and that's what, yeah, that's what, and I told Todd tonight that kind of, you know, between the four of us, I'm going to play skeptic tonight because although I love ghost hunting and I love the show Ghost Hunters and it's my dream to find a ghost, I've never had really a ghost experience. I mean, I've never seen things fly off or I've never had cups get unstacked or stacked in another room or, and so I want to believe in ghosts or I want to track one down, but, we're still kind of looking for that definitive proof, of a ghost. Tell us about the Velcro thing at your house there in Fairview.
Yeah, this was the most recent. All those others were at my dad's shop where he had operated businesses and actually lived for 50 years. This was here at my house in Fairview in a building I just built a year and a half ago. I had bought a box of Velcro, 2 inches wide and 4 feet long strip, and it's rolled up. I laid it out on a table and put a 2x4 on it with a bunch of junk on it to hold it down, to weight it down, to flatten the Velcro out. And it was that way for a while. I came in one day, and the Velcro had been a 4 foot long strip that had been torn apart and just kind of wadded into a bird nest and thrown in the corner several feet away. And nothing on the board was disturbed.
Yeah.
And there was things balanced on there like a box of
drill. Oh, so it's like they slipped it out from underneath the board?
And it would have been difficult to do.
Yeah, without knocking anything off the board. So.
Yeah, there were things balanced on it. And it's difficult to pull apart.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And nothing else in here was touched.
Yeah, wow. That's weird.
Interesting. So, and then Todd, you've got the one about, tell us about the stuff ending up in the piled up on the bed.
Yeah, that the wadded up thing sounds like my deal. My wife at the time, she collected these horse figurines and she kept them on the headboard of the waterbed. Yeah, everybody back then had the big headboard with the mirror and the shells, you know. Well, one day we're in the living room, which is, oh gosh, probably, our bedroom is on the first floor, and it was probably a straight shot, maybe 15 feet away, and the door was open. We were sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden we hear this funny noise, like, clatter, 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 clatter. I thought, what the heck was that noise? Go in the bedroom, flip the light on, and all those horses that were, there was probably a dozen of them or so, they were all piled up in a pile in the middle of the bed. And that wasn't the only time things got piled. A bunch of her belts that she had on a tie rack, belt rack, whatever. I can't remember which occasion happened first, but then the belts were all piled up in the middle of the bed, and that made we heard the noise. You know, you can hear the clattering of the belt buckles when we go in there. And
now, see, that's weird because you guys were like within a room of it happening and hearing it happening, which kind of proves the fact that somebody hadn't snuck in there.
No, it was just us, whether it was. Dustin was that he was home, but he was in bed.
Interesting.
How long did you stay there? That's the question.
Quite a while.
That's the ghost in the room here. We have our film guy Mark talking there in the background. So there's actually five of us here.
Yeah.
So real quick, tell us you've gone on some pretty big ghost hunts to other states. Tell us the scariest place you've been to, Tammy.
Okay, and I'll start out too by saying I'm pretty skeptical too. Catch a lot of flack for kind of being involved in this kind of stuff, but a lot of times we set out to actually prove that it's something besides a ghost.
Sure.
A lot of the places when people have us come to their house or they ask us about stuff, so I'm pretty skeptical too. But it's still fascinating to me because I have had things happen too. Probably the scariest place. Excuse me. We've been lots of places. We've been to Waverly Hills Sanitarium in Kentucky, which is a big one people see on TV a lot. We've been to the Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, which is a big one. But one of the scariest places to me is a place that not a whole lot of people know about. It's called the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells, Texas. And Mineral Wells is not a very big town. It's probably about 15,000 people. It's pretty small. But in the middle of it is this gigantic hotel that was built in the late 20s, and it I think it was completed in 1929, so it's very Art Deco. It's 14 stories tall, and it's about a city block or two big.
Wow.
It's huge. It's enormous.
Man.
And you can find it online if you look it up. But it's called the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells. And Mineral Wells, if I'm correct, was originally maybe called, I want to say it was called Firewater or Crazy Water or something
that.
And then they changed it to sound a little more elegant. But I think I have that right. I might be a little bit wrong about that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
But,
look at those pictures.
It's amazing. It's one of the, it's seriously
amazing. Now, it was empty when you went?
Yes. It had been abandoned since the 70s.
Oh, wow.
It started out as this huge health resort. Because the claim about that area is that the mineral wells, that the water there is healing. And so people would come. And if you've ever seen that movie, The Road to Wellville, about how the Kellogg estate, how the Kellogg cereal thing started out as a health spa. And people would, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, would go to these health spas and as a resort. And so people came from all over the world to the hotel there for their healing waters. And so it also was a huge entertainment venue. Lawrence Welk played there. The Glenn Miller Band played there. I think they had Ronald Reagan on their guest book.
Wow.
They had all kinds of famous people stayed there.
Very cool.
It was pretty amazing. And you can tell by the pictures, even in its, you know, kind of decimated state,
it looks cool.
Just amazing. It's one grandest, coolest places I've ever been. and I've been there several times. And before, you can't really get into it now, but you used to be able to get in and kind of stay the night. I've stayed the night in a couple times.
Oh, awesome.
And
how'd you do that?
Well, we paid $100 and got to go in. we got and the caretaker took us around, you know, and showed us everything. And there's certain places that you're really not allowed to go because it's kind of dangerous. And it's been several years ago. And now the city keeps a pretty close eye on it, and they kind of have It's not condemned, but they keep people out of it because it's dangerous.
I was going to say, with the popularity of these ghost shows, sure everybody and their dog wants to show up there.
And there's been a lot of vandalism because that's what's the unfortunate part about it is because it's an amazing building. And there's so much cool stuff in it that's still there. But it has been vandalized quite a bit, which is sad because it's got a lot of neat stuff in it. But the top floor is called the Sky Room, and it's glass all the way around, and it's a big dance. It's a ballroom, so it's really neat up there.
So now, did you have any weird experiences there?
We've had lots of weird experiences at the Baker Hotel.
Now, do you have anything recorded, sound-wise, video-wise, picture-wise?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I'd have to find it. I don't know where it is now, but yeah. One night we went there. They had a conference, and this was when the city allowed this group in Texas to open it up and have a conference there. So we attended this paranormal conference down there. And after the conference was over, some of us got to stay behind and kind of go through it a little bit. And there was one guy with our group who's kind of a big guy, and he was with our group of people. And he and I were in the hallway together, like the last ones to enter a hotel room. And so this group of us kind of started walking into this hotel room, and we heard a very gruff men's voice, kind of grunt or growl, kind of a noise. And we all kind of heard it. And Scott was the only man with us, and he was behind me in the hallway. He wasn't in the room, so we knew it wasn't him. And we did get that. We have a recording of that somewhere. I'll have to see.
I was going to say we may have to do a follow up show and bring in some evidence and stuff.
And my friend Tanya, that wrote the book with me, she's got several. One of the things that she really did a lot was the EVP, the electronic voice phenomena, where you record things. She has some really weird EVP from the Baker Hotel.
Oh, very cool.
So, she has some real creepy ones. But it's a really neat place. And like I said, it's gigantic. And it was built to be completely self-sufficient. So there's all kinds of generators and stuff underground. Like, it goes for like a mile underground or something.
Oh, wow.
The infrastructure of the place. So it's pretty cool. But as far as hauntings go, they blame a lot of it on the fact that so many people came there to be healed that they would kind of forego their normal medical treatments and then die.
Oh, bummer.
So that was kind of a sad deal. And then there were stories of Mr. Baker's mistress jumping from, jumping and killing herself. There's a story about a lady of the night, I guess, so to speak, that died while she was there, and they had to... Back then, if they didn't have relation with any that lived around there, they would kind of prop them up in the window till somebody claimed them, and I've heard of that happening in other places. But so there's a story about there was an illegal gambling and prostitution stuff going on there for a while.
Wow.
And it's seen a lot of stuff over the years.
Yeah.
So
everybody get online, check out Baker Hotel.
Yeah, the pictures are pretty
huge.
It's an amazing building.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, we don't want to keep you on here all night long. So are you good to keep hanging on?
I'm good. This is fascinating. Tammy, can I ask a question?
Sure.
My wife and I toured the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs a few years ago, and there's some ghost stories surrounding that place. Have you been there or heard about that?
Yes, we went to the Crescent, and it was basically one of the same groups that I've been to the Baker with. We went to the Crescent, and we went on their tour, which I have to say, I think their tour was a little bit over the top and a little cheesy and hokey. But
I agree.
I'm not a big, one of the things about the TV shows and the stuff and the photography and all that just drives me a little bit crazy is the orb thing. Because I just don't, I think it's BS.
I can get an orb any day, any week, any night.
Well, and if you think about it, when we used to use 35mm camera, we didn't really get those as much. It mostly kind of came around when digital started coming in.
Yeah.
And if you notice now, the higher quality digital camera you have, the less orbs people are getting. And digital picks up things that, the other ones didn't pick up. The lights reflect, the dust, the moisture, moths, all kinds of things cause orbs. And I just don't buy that that it's supernatural most of the time. Now, if it's, like, placed a certain way or maybe in motion, maybe sometimes it maybe could you know, take a little second thought, but I mostly don't.
You need to get out of there.
Yeah, I mostly don't buy into that part of it. But so they talked about that a lot on the tour at the mm-hmm. Crescent. But we did have a couple of weird things happen there. I can't remember specifically what they were, but I think one of them was like a set of lost keys. One of our people in the group misplaced their keys, and we tore the room apart, and then later like found them under the sheets in the bed.
Oh, really?
Which was a weird thing.
Cool.
Yeah, and then Tanya was staying in a different room than us, and I think she had something happen in her room as well. So I do think that the Crescent has some stuff going on. I just think that their telling of it may be a little.
Now, is it an abandoned building as well?
No, it's completely in use.
Oh, okay.
And it's a really neat hotel in Eureka Springs.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a neat spot.
Now, Chuck, did you stay there for fun, or did you stay there for a ghost type of thing?
Well, we didn't actually stay in the hotel. We were over there staying somewhere else, but we took what they call the ghost tour.
Oh, okay, cool.
Of curiosity. The backstory was really neat. It's similar to what Tammy was saying about the Baker Hotel. People would come there for the healing qualities of the mineral springs. But they, but the place years ago, I guess, was a medical facility, and there is a doctor there, obviously can't remember the name, but he would treat people there for long periods of time. Well, when they died, he just buried them out back and never told
neat.
The family. So the family would keep sending money.
Oh.
Right, yeah, there was a lot of controversy around that story there.
He was a quack.
Yeah, there's lots of people buried in unmarked graves out behind there at one point before the guy got caught.
Interesting.
And, you know, back then, communication wasn't what it is today, nor was travel. So, so-and-so's at a sanitarium or a hospital or a convalescent home in Eureka Springs. Oh, okay. How long have they been there? 8 years. You know, in the last six they were dead, they just kept sending money.
Wow.
That wasn't very nice.
Interesting. Did you turn me down? For some reason, I'm not hearing anymore. Hello? On this article on the Hadron Collider, they do cite the fact that 42% of Americans and 52% of people in the UK do believe in ghosts. And so I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of people having, you know, what you guys are talking about, experiences maybe in their house or hearing things or stuff like that. So we are going to discount this physicist's idea that just because nobody can explain what a ghost is, I don't know how he is trying to explain that the collider.
All they've proven is that the collider can't
prove
there
is a ghost. Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's not.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a, it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting to me that people that are very scientific try to so hard to disprove this. And it's not, I'm a science fan myself, obviously, of course, but things happen that, I mean, every day that we just can't explain them. I mean, we were in an abandoned, I think it was maybe a school. It was at Darlington, I think, in El Reno. And we were in there one night, and we had our tape recorders running, you know, and everything going while we were in there. And we were walking through the hallway. There's probably five or six of us there. And I heard a very sharp knock, like loud. And I stopped everybody and go, hey, you know, hey, and everybody was kind of talking and messed. Wasn't really paying attention, and they were a little bit ahead of me. And I heard this knock, and I said, hey, oh, my God, you guys come back. I was like, did you guys hear that? And you can hear me on the tape asking if anybody else heard it, but you cannot hear the knock.
Oh, really?
But I heard it out loud. Like, it was like somebody knocking on the, like, a door. And so things like that happen all the time.
Now, if you pinned me down and said, okay, you had to have one ghost story in your whole life. The one thing that I do remember vividly happening to me is I lived over on a two-story house on West Broadway, and I was home by myself upstairs. We had old creaky wooden stairs that came upstairs, and it was during a period where I think they had started showing some shows on violence in America, and so I think I was either in late grade school or early junior high, and being there by myself, I mean, I kid you not, I could hear somebody coming up the stairs. I mean, it was not just one footstep. It was creak, creak, creak. And I thought, I mean, I literally know what I would, at that point, I know what I would do if I froze. I could not move. And I knew somebody had broken into the house and they were sneaking up the stairs. And so literally I just stayed where I was waiting for them to make it all the way up the stairs to see who, you know, see this guy in a stocking mask or something. And I bet you I must have stood there for 10, 15 minutes and then it just stopped and nothing. And so if I had to say, I mean, but you know, you're talking about old creaky stairs, but it sounded just like footsteps coming up those stairs.
We used to hear footsteps at my mom and dad's house on West Broadway also.
Oh, really?
All the time. Yeah. And you know, I lived there when I was in senior in high school and a couple of years after that. And then my mom and dad, of course, lived there for a long time. And we would always hear somebody about 2:30 or 3 in the morning, we would hear somebody walking kind of on the stairs, or we would hear them walking down the upstairs hallway. And for years, they always assumed it was me, or I assumed it was them. Like, we always just thought it was somebody getting up in the night to go to the bathroom or something. And then after we all kind of started comparing stories, and after all the kids were gone, my parents were still hearing it. We determined it was not anybody in our family walking down the hall in the middle of the night.
Interesting.
And it happened a lot. It happened very frequently.
Now, if you don't know, we come to you guys live from Enid, Oklahoma, which is kind of in the middle of the country. And we are in the tallest building in northwest Oklahoma called the Broadway Tower. Now, do you have some stories there? Have you heard some things about our scary building here?
I have heard a couple of stories. Not a whole lot. And we've tried to kind of research some more about the history of all of it, but there's not a lot available. But one of the stories was told to me by the girl that used to run the elevator whenever we had the manually run elevator
uh-huh.
here. And you know, as you know, I used to work in this building for several years. So we had a manual elevator, and there was a woman that ran it in the morning and another girl that ran it in the afternoon. And she also would do some cleaning in some of the offices. And so up on the 12th floor used to be a law library of a local attorney. And she was up there cleaning the law library one night, and she walked in. And when you walk in the door of the law library, there's two kind of old wooden tables you could sit and read at, and they had the banker's lamps, you know, with the green shade
uh-huh,
on them
yeah.
and whatnot. And so she walked in to clean one night, and there was an old man she noticed sitting at the table, and the light was on, and he was reading a book.
Oh, no,
and
that's
she was
creepy.
Apologetic, because she was like, oh, you know, sir, I'm so sorry. I won't, you know, be very long. And so she was cleaning and vacuuming and stuff, and when she turned around, there wasn't anybody there.
She
tells the story about she pulled the vacuum cleaner out by the cord and whacked all the bookshelves all the way out, and she was like really freaked out about that room ever since then. But so that was kind of interesting. That was one story. And then one story that wasn't very long ago, I was working on the 11th floor, and a girl that worked on the third floor, she knew me, and we'd been friends a long time. And she called me one day, and she during work one day, and she said, hey, what do you know about this building? Do you know any stories about, you know, what are the ghost stories about this building? And I told her the one about the library. And she said, do you know anything about the third floor? And I said, no, not really. And she said, well, we just had a couple of people actually see somebody, like a man, walk through the wall.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? And it's people that you would never, ever, ever make up a ghost story. So it was kind of interesting. So I don't know the origins of it or the history behind it or anything, any reason why that would happen. But we've had a couple of things like that happen at the building here. But you know, now it's empty. So
yeah, I was going to say, you know what we need to do is we need to track down some of the old timers before some of them start passing away and see if we can get some. We need to get the ghost stories of this building and kind of record them all and get them down on paper somewhere.
I have spent a lot of time in here by myself. I'm with nobody here, and I've never heard or seen anything.
Now, didn't the girl that's kind of the office manager, haven't they heard things down in the basement? Or
oh, she's just a scared little willy-nilly.
Okay.
She's afraid to go down there now.
Well.
Oh, so you know, another thing I remembered when I worked here, up on the 12th floor where the law library is, or was, not now, where it was, the gal that was kind of our office manager had her office up there in a little bitty corner office of the law library. And we had jingle bells on the door so that when somebody came in, she could hear them come in because it's a big room and it's got bookshelves all the way from the floor to the ceiling. I say it does anymore. Now it's empty, but it did. And so you couldn't really see around them. You didn't have a straight shot to the door to see. So we had bells on the door. So I asked her one day, I said, hey, you know, do you ever hear anything weird or anything happen up there after I'd heard the story? And she said, you know, I do sometimes. And she's a little, like, farmer lady. She's not somebody to really take ghost stories. Like, you know, she wouldn't really make it up either. And so she goes, you know, sometimes she goes, I hear those bells and I hear people come in here. I hear people walk in and then there's never anybody there.
Wow.
So she said that happened to her every now and then and she'd get a little jumpy. So sometimes I would go up there and open the door and hide behind a bookshelf just to kind of.
Oh, really?
I would always come out and tell her it was me, but just to be funny. But yeah, so she had stuff happen up there too. But I don't, not very many. If other people have had experiences here, I don't know. I haven't really heard from them, but those are the ones I know.
Very cool. You still with us, Chuck?
Yep, I'm here.
Now, you just did a recent thing at Halloween where they were having some characters out at the cemetery. You didn't experience any weird things out at our cemetery, did you?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Have you heard any ghost stories about our cemetery?
No, and you know, I kind of have a theory that cemeteries probably aren't the places that are really going to be haunted.
Because they're really dead when they get there?
People think that cemeteries are spooky, obviously, because of the nature of it, because that's where dead people are buried. But to me, if I were going to come back and haunt someplace, it probably would not be the cemetery. I would go haunt someplace with people I knew. Or a place that I knew.
Yeah, there's nobody
at
the cemetery.
Why are you hanging out? Why would you hang out?
Your best friends are there.
You know, I mean, unless, you know, I don't know. To me, it just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm not saying there's not weird things that happen at cemeteries, because Imo Cemetery kind of has had some stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and we had, and I had a girl that saw somebody out there one time that was kind of interesting. But I don't know that why. I don't think that they're just automatically, I don't think you should automatically assume that cemeteries are haunted. That's just me.
Cool. So what else?
I spend a lot of time out there sitting by myself in the dark, you know, 30 minutes at a time, and never felt or saw or, you know, sensed anything.
Didn't have any of that hair on the back of your neck standing up at any point or anything?
No. You know, that's funny you mention that. That's what all the people you see on TV, the ghost hunters and everything, they say, oh, yeah, you get this, like, cool sensation. And
uh-huh.
I've had that quite a bit. I had that quite a bit down at Dad's shop. You know, it's like there's somebody behind me.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, it wasn't as definitive as seeing things knocked over. But,
sure, because you can creep yourself out if you're not careful.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of people experience is when they're alone.
Sometimes the bathroom's downstairs. Sometimes coming up the stairs, I'll be like, I'll think, that'd be creepy if someone like was hiding down there and they came out.
There's a lot of places in this building too.
Oh yeah, you could play some big old hide and seek games in this building.
Oh man,
building is a little There's a lot of places.
It's a very very cool building. And so now the next time our videographer here is by himself, he's going to have lots to think about.
You've had stuff happen.
Several times in my life.
I mean, as far as like unexplainable
things.
Like scary things. I know your grandma had stories about stuff flying out of the cabinets and stuff at her house. I remember that story.
Explain the story about when I walked out to get the dining room table.
You'd have to tell that one. I don't want to tell it wrong. I don't know it well enough.
Yeah, we'll have to get Mark a microphone here one of these days. We'll do a ghost follow-up story. Have Tammy bring in some of her stuff, recordings and stuff. Yeah, and Todd and I, you and I have we went with Tammy to on a ghost hunt last October.
Yeah,
here at a local theater, and we didn't come out with much, but there was what 20?
We had about 25 people.
25 people. Yeah,
too many. See, there's a technique. There's that technical stuff.
Yeah, there's a ghost right there. What is that?
They're trying to talk to us.
Yeah, well, hey, Chuck, we're going to let you go so you can get back to whatever you were doing. We appreciate you calling in. And any last thoughts on the whole ghost thing?
No, I have to say that I'm a believer. It doesn't bother me. I have no fear. And, you know, if there is one here, it's my dad.
Sure. Yeah, that's. I believe, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think that's what was going on at my house. I think it was my mom.
Oh, wow.
I really do, because she didn't like her. Didn't like her. What's her face? I can't remember her name.
But, you know, obviously there's no proof of anything. You know, we may never know. But I just think it's kind of comforting to accept that it's very probable. And
yeah. I mean, why not?
smile about it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I don't get to is, you know, some people are so set on putting people down if they believe in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here's the thing. If it gives, it's just like religion. If it gives someone comfort and it's not hurting you, why do you care that much?
Well, and
why are you dead set on?
Well, and then you think about when somebody's dying of cancer and the doctors say, you know, you're going to be dead in 3 months, and the person not only doesn't die in 3 months, they're completely healed. How do you explain that? I mean, there's stuff that you just can't explain sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean,
let the headlong exploder
collider explain
thing,
that one.
Explain that one.
Yeah,
the headlong exploder.
The earth and the universe is a mysterious place, and I don't think we'll ever understand all of it.
Yeah,
well, it's like,
go ahead, Chuck.
Saying there's no life in the universe except for us.
Yeah.
Well, we just haven't found it.
Yeah.
There may not be, but you can't say there's not.
Yeah, and speaking of, we'll have to get that guy. We'll have to do an episode about that. We'll have a UFO episode here one of these days
with Brian Cox. By the way, he's a TV scientist.
Oh well,
I don't know what that means, but
I don't know what that means either.
Well, he does a lot of space talking and stuff. I've seen a lot of his specials. He's kind of an interesting guy,
like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Well, now this guy's a little more spacey,
or more like Neil deGrasse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Chuck. We're going to let you go, and we're going to wrap up our show here pretty soon. But we're going to have you back on probably in a couple weeks, and you and I are going to talk about how to be an extra in a movie.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll look forward to that, and we will – go ahead.
It's easier than you think.
I can't do it. I've tried. They won't let me. They don't like me.
We're going to have to –
you look too good.
I was going to say, we're going to have to put a disguise on Todd or something. So anyway, we'll talk to you soon, Chuck.
Bye, Chuck.
All right. You guys take care.
Bye.
Oh, I cut him off.
That's all right. See if we can get rid of that weird.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. We'll see if it comes out on the recording. But
the guy in the chair upstairs. Did you hear that story, Mark? About the guy in the chair upstairs that disappeared? Yeah.
He heard it. He's just scared to admit it now. Yeah.
No, she just told it just now, just a few minutes ago. Anyway.
So what do you have, anything coming up ghost-wise or any ghost hunts or anything big?
Well, I don't have anything specifically planned right now, but, you know, every October I do the Erie Enid Ghost Tours.
Yeah.
And I also was getting ready to put all this up on Facebook and stuff. I will do them for anybody that has a group that wants to do them any time of the year.
Oh, cool.
So if anybody wanted, like, have a group together and do it on a Friday or Saturday or whatever, I totally will do them anytime anybody wants to.
Hey, what was that place that Matt was telling us about? Oh, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it. What was the name of the town?
Funny name.
Rats.
No, it wasn't rats. It was, anyway.
I've been to a really cool, one of the most haunted hotels in the country in New Mexico, in Cimarron, New Mexico, at the St. James Hotel.
This was like close to Telluride,
yeah.
South of Telluride or something. It was in Colorado.
It was Colorado? Oh,
yeah, it was
right.
In Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the story?
His aunt owned the property.
Across
the street. And no one could ever no one had ever been able to spend the night in there because it was so scary.
See, those are the places I like to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spend the night in some pretty spooky places.
And we're like, hey, dude, you need to get a hold of your aunt and let us get back, you know, go in there.
Yeah. And another show that we may end up doing one of these days is Enid, Oklahoma. If you didn't know, we are famous for having John Wilkes Booth commit suicide here, supposedly. Now, what was his
stage name or other name?
Other name?
David E. George.
David E. George. So if you look up David E. George, we do have it was a hotel here, and now it's a furniture store. And one of these Halloweens, we may try to get them to let us spend the night up there in the room where he supposedly committed suicide.
I don't think that place is really haunted, though.
I've never really heard anybody.
I've asked them, because when we were doing the book, that was one of the first places I went and asked them. And they said, well, you know, it's a really cool story, and it's really bizarre history, but we've never really had a lot of super spooky things happen here. But then they did let us come in with film crew one day. We went in, we were filming kind of a documentary type thing about just kind of some weird Enid stuff. And I think they've had a few things happen. And then that TV show came and did the whole deal they did. And I asked them whenever that happened. I was like, dude, because I messaged one of their sons. It's a friend of mine. I was like, dude, I thought you said it wasn't haunted. And he goes, well, it's not really. So
they just wanted to check it out.
That was kind of funny when that group came to town. But
what was that? I can't.
Ghost Lab.
Ghost Lab.
And
that was
it. It was funny because they had their big truck parked outside, and so everybody immediately started messaging me because apparently I'm the ghost person.
Oh yeah,
Everybody was saying, "Hey, what is this? What is this?" And I was like, "I don't know." So I kind of walked down the street a little bit. I went over there and I kind of said, "Hey, what's going on?" And they're like, "Well, we're filming." They were very serious. We're filming a television show. I said, well, clearly. What's going on? And I knew, my information was always that there really wasn't a story there. So I was like, what angle are you coming, what are you doing? And I didn't say anything about my experience or what I was doing or anything. I was just trying to make conversation. And so they were very dismissive, and they were like, "Well, we're very busy here," and blah, blah, blah. I said, "Well, are you a group? Are you a team or whatever?" Because I'd never heard of them, and and we're pretty familiar with everybody in the whole couple of states area. And so they were talking about it, and I said, "Well," I said, "good luck." And I was really friendly, and they go, "Hey, do you know of any other?" Ghost stories around here. And I said, yeah, I know all of them. I was like, I just wrote the book about, right when our book had come out, had just come out. And I said, in fact, I do. And I said, so you guys have a good day. And I just left.
Yeah. See ya.
I was like, if you're not going to be friendly, I'm not going to be offering you all my stories. But it was just kind of funny because then they were like, oh, do you know any more stories? And I was like, bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Funny.
Now, I've got another quick question. This is kind of un-ghost related, but a little bit ghost related. Any experiences with the old Ouija board? That seems to have made a comeback here because of the movie and the kids are kind of getting interested in it.
I don't, we used to, I think every kid has that whole slumber party experience or something, and we used to, when I was even in college at Phillips, we used to go out in front of Clay Hall because it was like the spookiest place in town, and all that. But I don't know what I think about that. I think it has a whole lot to do with your nerves and your energy or something. I don't know really how to explain it. Obviously, it's something that could be easily manipulated, and then I've also seen some really weird things happen with it. But sometimes I wonder if it isn't more. I'm not wording this very well. But certain people have different kinds of energy, and I think energy has a lot. I think your energy can make things happen sometimes. I think if you're a negative person all the time and you complain a lot and you're just kind of miserable, then it seems like negativity seems to follow you around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
Whereas,
agree.
When you're a happy person and you don't allow stuff like that in your life, you seem to have a happier life. I think energy is real. It's real prevalent in what happens in your life. So, I don't know. I think that kind of plays into some of that sometimes. I think people's religious background plays into it a little bit. Because some people think it's, a devil
kind of a
thing, like a demon thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people don't. And I think that sometimes depends on your experience, your life experience kind of depends on your Ouija board experience. I don't know. It's not something I really mess with very much because you never hear a happy Ouija board story.
Well,
why mess with that?
Yeah, my daughter was asking me the other day because I guess some of her friends have been doing the whole experimenting thing because they're in early high school. And I said, if the Ouija board worked, don't you think that somebody would ask it who was going to win the upcoming basketball game or the Super Bowl, and then they would go bet, and then they would win. When that starts happening, and you might take the Ouija board a little more seriously, but until that happens, I told her, it is what it is.
And everybody has, a lot of people have Ouija board stories, and none of them end well. So to me, that just seems like why you want to do that?
Yeah. Stay away from the Ouija board.
It's not a religious thing with me. It's not any of that. It's just... I've never heard a happy story about it.
We should have brought one down. I got one.
You do?
Derek had to buy. No, Derek, a new one.
A new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they a lot like the old ones, or are they kind of upgraded?
They're flimsier and not cheap. Yeah, they're kind of cheap.
I had one as a kid, but I'm sure it went to a garage sale at one point.
And they did the whole candles, and they freaked themselves
out.
Oh,
really?
That's the thing, is I think you hype yourself up so much that you freak yourself out.
They, yeah. They were, oh, yeah.
Over the top, huh?
Yeah. I had a friend that made one out of a pizza box one time.
I suppose you could make your own.
You can you can make your own. I mean, I think they're interesting, and I think they're kind of fascinating. And we talked about doing a kind of a book on Ouija board tales of people's, because everybody, I mean, a lot of people have stories, but like I said, none of them, none of them end well. So I just figure you might.
What do you mean don't end well? Like a spatula got stuck in someone's throat
well,
or something?
You know,
or
just always, I can't think of anything, a specific story, but I've read so many of them and talked to so many people that they always have some weird.
I was going to say, nobody ends up winning, betting on the Super Bowl and winning from what I've heard.
No.
So
nobody shows up at the door with
the
delivery
Ouija board,
of cupcakes or anything.
You don't ask it stuff like that. Aren't you talking to dead
spirits.
People?
Yeah, you're supposed to be talking to spirits.
A spirit's not going to know who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Does it say that on the instructions? I thought it was supposed to just answer questions you asked it.
No, I think you're connecting.
Well, it's supposed to be a portal to the other side.
Yeah,
that's why it becomes a religious issue, too, because then people think that you're, you know, letting demons in or whatever. Or they're saying, you know, you open the portal and you want to talk to Aunt Jean, but accidentally Beelzebub comes through or something. You know, so I don't know. People say it's like a portal. It's like opening a door to something you don't really want to open a door to.
Okay. Kids, stay away from the Ouija board, please.
So just err on the side of caution.
Yes.
We're going to get a Ouija board down here.
Yeah. We're going to have to have a follow-up ghost show. Cause
that would be good for a...
Well, you know, we're going to do a paranormal conference in September.
Oh, here in Enid?
Yes. We don't have a date completely figured out yet, but we are going to have one.
Watch buzzheadradio.com,
and that might be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll do like a big seance or something.
Yeah. Do it right down here?
We could totally do that. Because
on the 12th floor.
One of my friends that's coming, they do like the Houdini seance thing every year.
Oh, really?
You know,
love the Houdini seance thing.
He's written a whole book about it. He's written like 100 books about... supernatural stuff and true crime and things like that. And he owns the Weird Chicago Tour Company. And he's been on lots of television shows. If it's on Discovery or Travel or something, he's narrated a lot of those. He
Very
does
cool.
a lot of haunted history stuff. But he's going to come speak.
Okay.
So
tell us again in...
Might be kind of in September.
September. Okay. So if you're listening to us out there in La La Land, look for a ghost conference here in Enid, Oklahoma. We will give you dates and stuff, keep you updated on buzzheadradio.com.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could do a podcast of it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We'll have to do we'll have it live, and we'll record it, and then it'll be a podcast that you guys can hear later.
That'd be
fun.
Yeah.
Because generally at things like that, we either have like a ghost hunt afterwards, or we could do like a seance thing, or you could do all kinds of stuff.
Let's get really weird.
So let's do something. Yeah, let's plan something.
Okay, it's in the works. Follow-up show in September. Everybody get ready. So shall we get out of here? I think we've been, I think we're over our time limit of what we usually do. But
we don't have a time limit.
Yeah, we have no
it's
rules.
It's the interwebs. You don't have rules.
Yeah. Don't forget, you can hear us on TuneIn Radio. Just type in Buzzhead Radio, and we pop up there if you're not listening to us there now. And we also have these recorded and posted at buzzheadradio.com.
And
so
sometimes you can catch us live on Facebook Live, too.
Yeah. And tonight we did not. But we do have, you know, real quick before we get off the subject, I always think now that we've gotten into the GoPro thing, we've got three GoPros in this room. Two of them are going right now. But one of the funniest things on Ghost Hunters is they'll enter a room and the GoPro battery will die.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody freaks out like, but what
sucks your battery.
But what you don't understand is if you own a GoPro,
they die.
It happens
die.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, my GoPro battery just died and I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you're probably more, it's probably more believable if you're, you know, flashlight batteries all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because flashlights sometimes can last forever.
Yeah. GoPro batteries are a little sketchy. Yeah. So not that you can recharge them and they work again fine, but every now and then they just, all the juice runs out of them. I don't know why.
Not that one. It's plugged in.
Mine's still going as well.
Yeah, cool.
So check us out. We're going to have also Buzzhead Radio YouTube channel where all these podcasts that we video will be on there as well. So you can catch us just all kinds of places.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. Are we going to get out of here?
See ya.
Thanks, Tammy, for coming in. We appreciate you. Again, Ghost Lahoma, if you like to read ghost stories, you can get that, search Amazon or just go to Google and type in Ghost Lahoma and you'll find Tammy.
There's a Ghost Lahoma Facebook page, too. I think the links are probably all on there.
Oh, great. Cool. Yep. Everybody check that out. And again, we're going to do a follow-up show in September where we will have a little of your evidence And we'll just put something together, and either it will entail a seance, a Ouija board, or a group meeting up on the 12th floor.
Like find the dude in the chair.
I must say, if it's going to be a Ouija board, you're going to have to find somebody.
Mark's out on that one.
I'm out of the Ouija board, man.
Okay. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you next week.
See you later.
See ya. Buzzhead Radio.